We are in the process of finishing the book of Acts, which I started many weeks ago. I really don't know how many. We'll have two sessions left, one today and one in the future. Acts chapter 28, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 16 in our service this morning. I want you to realize as we look at this, how much of the way God wills and leads people we see in this book. And remember, these principles are likely also applicable in all of our lives every day that we live. Now, just a little background so that you can remember. It's been a couple of weeks since I was able to preach. I could have preached, but nobody asked me to. We were in New York the last couple of Sundays, and somehow what I saw in New York was not impressive. The general outline of Acts is derived from Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power, notice that future tense, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be, notice that future tense, it's not a commandment, it's a future tense, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that's what the book of Acts is all about. It is not commanding us to witness. That's done elsewhere in the scripture. But I know some of my friends like to preach this verse that way, and they really are not doing justice to the word of God when they do that. Take the text for what it says, what it means, always. The witness of the disciples in Jerusalem is found in 1:1 through 7:60, in Judea and Samaria in 8:1 through 9:31, and to the uttermost part, not parts, but part of the earth, that's Rome, in 9:32 to 28:31. It begins with Peter's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, followed by the planting of the church in Antioch and the persecution by Herod and Herod's subsequent death as a result of his persecuting the believers. Saul's or Paul's missionary journey with Barnabas in 13 and 14, followed by the council at Jerusalem in 15. Paul's second missionary journey, this time with Silas, occurs in 1536 to 1822, and his third missionary journey is reported in Acts 18:23 through 21:26. Paul's arrest and trials, remember they're all within the will of God, are found in 21:27 through 26:32 and are followed by his voyage to Rome and shipwreck. Within the will of God, remember. And his house arrest and witness to the Jews in Rome for about 2 years. As we go on, we see a little bit more of the voyage to Rome and the shipwreck. Of course, he's already been wrecked, but we're just getting back a little review of it. In Caesarea, Paul and the other prisoners were delivered to a centurion named Julius. After they boarded a ship heading toward Adramyttium, which was intending to stop by the ports in Asia, they set sail. Little did they know, they were going to have a little trouble on the way. But within the will of God, it happened. At Sidon, Paul was permitted to go to his friends so that they might provide for his needs. Because of strong winds, they sailed north of Cyprus, between Cyprus and the mainland. That took time to do that. Sailing along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, and came to Myra, where they changed ships for one sailing to Italy. Those people on board that ship had no idea what was ahead of them. A contrary wind forced them to sail across to Crete, and along its sheltered coast off Salmone. After passing Salmone with difficulty, they came to Fair Havens near the city of Lasea, where Paul advised them against continuing the ship because sailing at this time of year was dangerous. However, because the harbor at Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, it was not suitable for spending the winter. Therefore, the pilot, the ship owner, and most of the ship's crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, where they would spend the winter. So, when the wind from the south was gentle, they thought they could make it safely to Phoenix, and they set sail and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But within the will of God, they soon encountered a strong wind which blew them out to sea. Many days later, after experiencing considerable difficulty, all hope that they would be saved was gone. Paul reminded everyone that they should have listened to him. He also advised them that there would be no loss of life because an angel had told him that all those with him would be saved. And I'm sure some of them were saying, yeah, right. But they did get saved and probably gave Paul quite an opportunity to witness regarding the gospel message. Even though they would run aground on some island, there would be a shipwreck on Melita. We know it today as Malta. When it was day, they attempted to sail the ship into a bay with a beach and ran the ship aground, but it didn't quite make it into the bay. They got stuck on a point of land that stuck out. The back of the ship was broken by the waves. Although the soldiers decided to kill the prisoners, wasn't God's will, you know, lest some of them should escape. The soldiers were overruled by the centurion, who, within the will of God, overruled them and advised them all to head to land. And they all escaped safely to land within the will of God. The inhabitants of Melita, as I've said, also known today as Malta, treated those who had been on the ship kindly and started a fire because it was raining and cold. And by that way, they were all wet too. You remember that? You can't fall into the ocean and not get all wet. They were wet all over. A poisonous snake bit Paul's hand, and the people from the island assumed that Paul was guilty of murder and thought he was getting what he deserved. However, Paul was not harmed. As a result, the people concluded that he must be a god. Publius, the leader of the island, lodged Paul and others for 3 days, and Paul healed Publius' father. Others who were also sick came to Paul, and he healed them as well. You suppose this gave Paul opportunity to witness to all these people? Of course it did. The inhabitants of the island honored Paul and those with him and provided their needs. After spending the winter at Melita, they sailed for Rome on board another ship. After spending 3 days at Syracuse, and that's not the Syracuse in New York now, this is a Syracuse that's in the Mediterranean, they sailed to Rhegium and then on to Puteoli. After spending a week at Puteoli, they began traveling on land toward Rome. On the way to Rome, Paul was met and encouraged by other believers who had traveled from Rome to Appii Forum and 3 taverns. You suppose Paul needed that encouragement? I'm sure he did. That's why the Lord sent it. Finally, after arriving in Rome, the centurion delivered the other prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul, within the will of God, was permitted to live by himself with a soldier who was guarding him. Now, we're not going to go farther than that this morning. That's enough. But when we do, we're going to see that Jesus' statement to Paul back in Acts 23 that he would bear witness of him in Rome is going to be fulfilled over a period of about 2 years. How many people do you suppose Paul was able to witness to in 2 years? And God kept sending them to him. Well, as we look at 28:1-11, where we see these people on the island of Melita. Paul and the others who had been on board the ship learned that the island on which they had shipwrecked was Melita or Malta. The inhabitants of the island treated those who had been sent on the ship kindly and started a fire because it was raining and cold. Within the will of God, a poisonous snake came out of a bundle of sticks and bit Paul's hand. Had that happened to you, would you have thought it was within the will of God? Well, I don't know what you'd have thought, but you certainly would have realized that it was allowed by God. God could have prevented the whole thing. People from the island saw this and assumed that Paul was guilty of murder and thought he was getting what he deserved, but Paul shook off the poisonous snake into the fire and was not harmed. Because no harm came to Paul from the snake bite, the people concluded that he must be a god. Publius, the leader on the island, lodged Paul and others for 3 days. Publius' father suffered from fever and dysentery, and Paul healed him. Since Paul had healed Publius' father, others who were also sick came to Paul, and he healed them as well. The inhabitants of the island honored Paul and those with him and provided their needs. You know, when they got off that wrecked ship, probably all they had with them was whatever they were wearing. And it would be kind of a problem for them to find stores to buy stuff in, you understand? They wouldn't have any money anyway. After passing the winter on the island, they left for Rome on board a ship, which had also spent the winter at Melita. You know, they wanted to stop at Fair Havens. God's will was that they go on. God wanted them to be on this island. For all we know, and we really don't know, why this island? Might it be that some people were waking up on that island, realizing there had to be a God out there somewhere, and were praying that God would send somehow that they could learn about him? It could have been. We don't know, but God is sending somebody to the island of Malta. It's going to explain to them how they can be sure of going to heaven. Paul and the others who had been on board the ship learned that the island on which they had shipwrecked was Melita, known today as Malta. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And is continuing the narrative. When they were escaped is used in conjunction with knew, indicating time. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of knew. So it's understood in the sense of after they were saved from, after they were delivered from, or after they escaped death in the shipwreck. Then suggests at that time. They knew as they found out, and what they found out is that the island was called Melita. Now this is an island in the Mediterranean Sea south of Sicily. Melita has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, they found out that Melita, the island, was called. Within the will of God, the inhabitants of the island treated those who had been on the ship kindly and started a fire because it was raining and cold. Notice verse 2. And the barbarous people, barbarous, that tells you something about them, but what does it tell you? It might not tell you what it thinks, what you think it tells you. We'll get to that in a minute. Showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, all 276 people that came off that boat, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And transitions to the next thought in the narrative in the sense of now. The barbarous people refers to the inhabitants of Melita. What does it mean? It means people who did not speak Greek, but spoke in their own native language. Now today, the term barbarian has a different connotation. Forget today's connotation. Go by what this one means. It means they had a language other than Greek. They showed us, they showed the people who had been shipwrecked no little kindness. Means that they were showing us not the usual or ordinary kindness. It means that they showed us unusual or extraordinary kindness. For introduces how the inhabitants of the island showed the survivors of the shipwreck unusual kindness. They kindled a fire. It's used in conjunction with received, indicating a fact in addition to received, or time, or how they treated the survivors of the shipwreck with unusual kindness. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of received, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to received. But if showing time, it's understood in the sense of after they kindled a fire. But if showing the means by which they treated the survivors of the shipwreck with unusual kindness, it's understood in the sense of by kindling a fire. I'm sure those people who were cold and wet were thrilled to have the privilege of warming up a little bit around that fire. Now, I don't know how big the fire was, but 276 people around a little fire might take them a while to get up there and get warm. 275, and they received us. I guess it's 276, isn't it? And received us, everyone is, they welcomed us. Because of the present rain and because of the cold is the reason they welcomed every one of those who had been shipwrecked. It's because of the rain which had begun and because of the cold. A poisonous snake probably could move just fast enough because it was cold, came out of a bundle of sticks and bit Paul on his hand. Now you can understand how that would happen. You pick up a bundle of sticks to put it on the fire, and here's a snake in there, and all of a sudden he gets alert, or she, whichever it is. It doesn't tell us what gender the snake was. It doesn't make any difference. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Just what you've always wanted for your hand, right? And transitions to the next thought in the narrative in the sense of then or now. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks is used in conjunction with fastened, indicating time, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of fastened. It's understood in the sense of after Paul gathered up a large number of sticks and laid them on the fire is also used in conjunction with fastened, indicating time, or a fact in addition to fastened. Its action occurred either before or at the same time as the action of fastened. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after or when he laid or put them on the fire. If showing a fact in addition to fastened, it's understood in the sense of he laid or he put them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat. It's likewise used in conjunction with fastened, and it's indicating time or a fact in addition to fastened. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before or at the same time as the action of fastened. It is literally a viper having come out of the heat. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after or when a viper came out of the heat. If showing a fact in addition to fastened, it's understood in the sense of a viper came out of the heat. The term viper ordinarily suggests a poisonous snake, and that this one was poisonous is indicated by what the people were expecting to happen to Paul after he was bitten by it. Do you suppose they had had some experience with that kind of snake? Undoubtedly. And fastened on his hand suggests and seized his hand or took hold of his hand. It means that the viper bit Paul's hand and he's hanging there by his fangs or her fangs. It does not mean it wrapped itself around his hand. The people from the island assumed that Paul was guilty of murder and thought he was getting what he deserved. Maybe there's a lesson in that for us too. Do we make assumptions about people and their character when we first meet them? Sometimes we might. We need to be careful. We don't want them making false assumptions about us. We should be careful about making false assumptions about them. Now, as a pastor, I analyze people as I meet with them. I just do. I don't know how to stop doing that. I'm guessing I'm not alone, that some of you would do the same. You probably analyzed me the first time you laid eyes on me, and I don't know what you thought. I hope it was kind and sweet, but you never know. I've been thought of as being quite a rascal by some people. I'm not a rascal, not at all, but some people have been mistaken. They want to identify me with somebody else. Well, I am me. I am what I am by the grace of God, just like you are. We need to be careful about making assumptions of people. Instead, just pray that God would grant us wisdom that we can help them spiritually. When the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt, this man is a murderer whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And transitions to the next thought in the context, in the sense of then or now. When the barbarian saw the venomous, notice venomous is in italics, which means that the translators have supplied it, and they probably have supplied it correctly. The beast hang on his hand suggests after the barbarian saw the beast or the viper hanging on his, meaning on Paul's hand. The snake was hanging by its fangs on Paul's hand. It was not coiled around his hand. Now, I'm sure that that's just what you people who live in North Carolina would want to have, is a copperhead hanging on your hand by its fangs when you're trying to pick beans or something like that in your garden. Just what you'd always wanted, right? No, not exactly. The inhabitants of Melita are referred to as the barbarians. Once again, it's because they did not speak Greek. They said among themselves, they, the barbarians, were or kept saying to one another or to each other. The tense of said indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. Can't you just see it now? They're pointing at Paul. Look at that. That snake hanging on his hand. He's going to die soon. What they were or kept saying is, no doubt this man is a murderer. He wasn't a murderer at this time in his life. He had been earlier, but not now. Whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. No doubt is probably or certainly or doubtless. I like doubtless or certainly. This man is a murderer. It's referring to Paul. And of course, murderer has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, a murderer is this man, whom vengeance suffereth not to live, means whom justice does not permit or allow to live. Justice is here personified as a god. Though he hath escaped the sea is used in conjunction with suffereth, indicating concession. And it's understood in the sense of although he was delivered, although he was saved, or although he was rescued from the sea. Well, if you were Paul, what would you do? Well, probably what he did. He shook off the poisonous snake into the fire. That's a good way to get rid of the thing, and suffered no ill effect. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And suggests so or then. He shook off the beast into the fire is used in conjunction with felt, indicating effect in addition to felt or time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of felt. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to felt. But if showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he shook off the beast, meaning the viper, into the fire. What would you do? Well, I would think my normal reaction would be to shake that thing off. I don't know whether I'd have shaken it into the fire. He might have been really close to the fire. That would make it easy. But he got rid of it and felt no harm. And suggests so or then. He shook off the beast into the fire. He shook off the beast into the fire. It's used in conjunction with felt, indicating effect in addition to felt or time. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of felt. It's been translated as indicating effect in addition to felt. But if showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he shook off the beast, meaning the viper, into the fire, and felt no harm, as he suffered no harm. It's a fulfillment of Mark 16, 17 through 18, which says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils or demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, of course, the speaking with new tongues ceased with the completion of the New Testament. They shall take up serpents. Oh, that's a snake, isn't it? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Paul managed to take up a snake, not knowingly, but it didn't hurt him, though it tried to. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Once again, the miraculous healing ceased with the completion of the New Testament. But when Mark was written, there were probably 30 to 35 years left to go before the New Testament would have been completed. Because no harm came to Paul from the snake bite, the people concluded that he must be a god. Okay, now they've got a different opinion of Paul. They aren't right the first time, they aren't right the second time. But they changed their minds. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Have you ever had people staring at you and you wonder why? Well, here they were staring at Paul, wondering why he had not died. Howbeit, introduces a statement in mild contrast to what the inhabitants of the island assumed about Paul. It's understood in the sense of the word, but. They looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. They were looking for or waiting for or expecting him to be about to. They were expecting that he would swell up or fall down dead suddenly, meaning immediately or at once. But it didn't happen. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to what they were expected, to happen to Paul as a result of the snake bite. After they had looked a great while is used in conjunction with said, indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing or repeated and occurring at the same time as the action of said. But it's understood in the sense of while they were, while they continued, or while they kept looking, while they were waiting, or while they were expecting for a long time that Paul would swell or fall down dead. I kept their eyes on him, didn't I? For a long time has been placed in the position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, for a long time while they were, while they continued or kept looking, waiting or expecting, and saw no harm come to him. It's also used in conjunction with said, indicating time or cause, and its tense indicates that its action was likewise ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of said. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of, and while they were, while they continued, or while they kept observing, nothing unusual coming or happening to him. But if showing cause, it's understood in the sense of, and because they were, because they continued, because they kept observing, nothing unusual concerning or happening to him. Come describes harm and suggests coming or happening. They changed their minds is used in conjunction with said, indicating a fact in addition to said or cause. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of said. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to said, and it suggests they were changing their minds or they were changing their way of thinking. But if showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because, meaning since, or inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that they were changing their minds or they were changing their way of thinking, and said that he was a god. They, the inhabitants of Melita who had observed the snake biting Paul, were or kept on saying that he, meaning Paul, was a god. You notice there were no atheists here. They were worshiping gods, foreign gods, not God of the Bible. God has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, they were saying that a god is he. Well, I'm sure word got around the island. I'm sure it got to a man by the name of Publius. He may have been there watching. We don't know. But Publius had a problem in that his dad was quite sick. Publius, the leader of the island, lodged Paul and others for 3 days. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English. It transitions to the next thought in the context. It's understood in the sense of now. In the same quarters means in this region, or in the neighborhood around that place, suggesting near where the ship was wrecked and where Paul had been snake bitten. Were possessions of the chief man of the island is were lands belonging to the first or to the most prominent man of the island, whose name was Publius, simply named Publius, or by name Publius, or with the name Publius. In the Greek text, who, which refers to Publius, is the subject of lodged. Received us is used in conjunction with lodged, indicating a fact in addition to lodged or time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of lodged. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to lodged, and it's understood in the sense of welcomed us. It means that Publius extended hospitality to us. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he received or welcomed us. Who comprised the group referred to us? It's not clear. But it seems to be limited to the small group which included Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus. Might it have included others? Well, we don't know exactly who it included. My guess is, and it's only a guess, that it's Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus, and maybe one or two more. We just don't know. But remember, 276 people came off of that boat, taking a lot of lodging to put all 276 of them up at the same time. We just don't know how many of them were put up by him. He lodged us 3 days courteously, has entertained us hospitably or in a friendly manner throughout 3 days. In the Greek text, the case of days indicates that it's referring to an extent of time. It's throughout 3 days. 3 days and courteously have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally throughout 3 days, courteously or hospitably lodged or entertained us. Now, Publius' father had a problem. Whether he invited Paul to see what Paul could do with his father or whether it just happened this way, it's not clear. But it wouldn't be surprising either way. And it came to pass. It just happened. It came about that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. What is a bloody flux? I wouldn't have known what that meant if I couldn't read the Greek text. To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him, and he healed him. The content of it is that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. This actually functions in the Greek text as the subject of came to pass or happened. Lay as was lying down. It's an ongoing thing. Sick is used in conjunction with lay indicating cause, and its tense indicate that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of lay. It's understood in the sense of because he was sick. He was afflicted or he was tormented, and that's why he was lying down. Sick of a fever and of a bloody flux suggests with or by means of fevers and dysentery. Fever and bloody flux have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally with fevers and dysentery, afflicted, was lying. This poor man was a mess. How would you like to have taken care of him? You wouldn't have, I'm sure. But somebody had to. To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him as used in conjunction with healed, indicating three facts in addition to healed or time. Their tense indicates that the action of all three of them occurred before the action of healed, and it's been translated as indicating three facts in addition to healed. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of to whom, meaning to Publius' father, after Paul entered and prayed and laid his own hands on him, meaning on Publius' father. In the Greek text, Paul is the subject of healed. And healed him means Paul healed him. Paul healed Publius' father. I'm sure that made quite an impression on the father. I'm sure it also made quite an impression on Publius and anybody else who was in that household. Now, bitten by a snake, a poisonous one, and not dying, healing a man with fever and dysentery. Do you suppose they listened to what Paul had to say about the gospel? My guess is that they certainly would have, wouldn't you? Since Paul had healed Publius' father, apparently word spread. Others who were also sick came to Paul, and he healed them as well. Why do you suppose God sent Paul to this island? Well, God sent him there to reach some people for the Lord. And of course, in the process, he also healed some people. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So introduces an inference drawn from the fact that Paul had healed Publius' father. It's understood in the sense of therefore, consequently, accordingly, or then. Well, what if you'd been on that island and been sick and couldn't get over it? And you heard there was a man over there that just healed this Publius' father. Would you not want to get there and get healed too? Of course you would. That's why we go to doctors. It's the only reason we go to doctors, right? So some of you just like to go and have appointments, something to do, so you can pay money. You see, you can contribute to his next Cadillac or whatever kind of car he drives. Yeah, the point is we do go to doctors. Why do we go? Because we want to be healthy. Do you like going to doctors? I don't. I still go. And of course, whenever my wife goes, she likes to ask questions of the doctor that I wouldn't bother to ask the man. You know how that goes, men. If I wanted to ask the question, I'd have asked it. But here I take my dear wife, my sweet wife, with me. And yes, indeed, she wants to know. And I'm all right with it, actually. Since Paul healed Publius' father, some others came. So introduces the inference drawn from the fact that Paul had healed Publius' father. It's understood in the sense of therefore, consequently, accordingly, or then. When this was done, it's used in conjunction with came, and it's indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of came, and it's been translated as indicating time. It's understood in the sense of after this happened, or this refers to the healing of Publius' father. But if showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because this happened. Others also, which had diseases in the island, as the rest also, the ones on the island having sicknesses or diseases, the ones who were ill, came and were healed, were coming and were being healed, one after another, after another, after another. How many? We don't know. But it does sound like quite a few, doesn't it? Why did God send Paul there? To witness to these people. To witness to the people on board that ship that are no longer on board that ship. We don't know how many people were saved as a result of this shipwreck on Malta. The inhabitants of the island honored Paul and those with him and provided their needs. This was done within the will of God. Think back this week. What happened to you that was within the will of God? It might have been a blessing or two. Might have been a little bit of chastisement or two. You never know. Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. They got there with nothing except what they were wearing, and they were all wet and cold. But they were all taken care of by the people on the island. Who also honored us with many honors refers to the people who came to Paul and were healed in verse 9 and suggests who also honored us greatly. Us, as I've said earlier, seems to be limited to Paul and his associates who were with him, meaning Luke and Aristarchus. And when we departed is used in conjunction with laded, indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of laded. And it's understood in the sense of when we set sail. They laded us with such things as were necessary means they gave us the things which were necessary, or they gave us what we needed. They remained on the island and then left for Rome on board a ship which had spent the winter at Melita. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And transitions to their departure from Melita in the sense of then or now. After 3 months indicates the length of their stay at Melita. We departed in a ship of Alexandria, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. It means we set sail in the Alexandrian ship that was marked by the Dioscuri. Dioscuri means that had the Dioscuri, they were the twin sons of Zeus. This is in idolatry, you know, the idea is this is the exact word's not coming to my mind right now, and I don't have it written down for me to remember. That's why I write things down. But the twin sons' names were Castor and Polydeuces as its insignia, which had wintered in the isle, as which had wintered or spent the winter on the island. Well, so they set sail. They went to Syracuse. Landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. So they stayed there 3 days. Syracuse was located on the east coast of Sicily. It's about 80 miles north of Melita or Malta. We tarried there 3 days. We remained or stayed there 3 days. From Syracuse, they sailed to Rhegium. And from thence, we fetched a compass. What does that mean? Means they acquired a compass? No, it doesn't mean that, but that's what it would seem to me to mean in modern English. And came to Rhegium. From thence means from where, referring to Syracuse. We fetched a compass is used in conjunction with came, indicating a fact in addition to came, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of came. It's understood in the sense of we sailed around or made a circuit along the east coast of Sicily. That's we fetched a compass. We sailed around the east coast of Sicily. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to came. But if showing time, it's understood in the sense of after we sailed around or made a circuit along the east of Sicily and came to Rhegium. Rhegium. We came to or arrived at Rhegium, which is located on the western side of the tip of the toe of Italy. Now you know where it's located. You probably forget it before noon, but anyway, you know where it is for a few minutes. And then they went to Puteoli, a trip of about 180 miles north of Rhegium. After 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came next to Puteoli. After 1 day simply implies on the next day after they arrived in Rhegium, the south wind blew in conjunction with came. It indicates a fact in addition to came or time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of came. And it's been translated as showing a fact in addition to came. But if showing time, it's after a south wind came to pass or came up. The next day to Puteoli. The second day to Puteoli. Located on the Gulf of Naples in Italy, about 150 miles southeast of Rome. Well, after spending a week in Puteoli, they headed toward Rome. Paul was met and encouraged by other believers who traveled from Rome to Appii Forum and three taverns or three inns to meet him. How did word get over to those people? You suppose they sent text messages? Maybe emails? No. Somehow God directed that believers would come a number of miles to meet him. After arriving in Rome, the centurion would deliver the other prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul would be permitted to live by himself with a soldier who was guarding him. It says, and this is in Appii Forum and, at Puteoli, where we found brethren, we're desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. Where means at Puteoli. We found brethren used in conjunction with were desired, whether it's showing time or a fact in addition to it. We found brethren or brothers, fellow believers. How'd they get over there? We don't know, but they were there. We were desired to tarry with them 7 days. We were requested, we were urged or encouraged or implored to stay or to remain there with them or near them for 7 days. I find that interesting that here these prisoners are asked if, you know, people are asking if they can stay there, and they did. And so we went toward Rome, and thus or in this way we went on to Rome. Paul was met and encouraged by other believers as they traveled from Rome to Appii Forum and 3 taverns or 3 inns to meet him. From thence, meaning from there, from Rome, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the 3 taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Suppose he was a little nervous? I would guess that he was. When the brethren heard of us, occurred within the will of God for Paul. They came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the 3 taverns. They came out from Rome as far as Appii Forum and the 3 taverns. Now, Appii Forum is a market town on the Appian Way, 43 miles south of Rome. How they heard Paul was coming, I don't know. But they traveled 43 miles to meet him. The 3 taverns, or 3 inns, is a place on the Appian Way, 33 miles from Rome. Again, people came out to meet him. They didn't have the kind of transportation we have. They probably walked. Maybe they had some donkeys or something else, but they got there. Whom, when Paul saw, is used in conjunction with took courage. And it means that he took courage. My guess is he needed to take courage. He thanked God. It's used in conjunction with took courage. It means Paul was encouraged. The timing of this was also in the will of God. Paul needed it and received it from God just when he needed it. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you were discouraged with things that were happening and God encouraged you at just the right time? After arriving in Rome, the centurion delivered the other prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to live by himself with a soldier who was guarding him. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered or permitted or allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And transitions to what took place when they arrived in Rome, and it's in the sense of now or them. The centurion kept them, and he delivered them where he was supposed to deliver them. So here we are, and we see that the prisoners have all been delivered to the captain of the guard, meaning the military commander. But Paul was treated differently. He was allowed or permitted to live by himself in his own quarters. Within the will of God, Paul was delivered to Rome, where he would now bear witness of Christ. Though there's only a little bit said, it would appear that he was there for 2 years or more. Don't you wonder how many of those people who were on board the ship with Paul, as well as how many of those whom Paul met on the island of Malta, were saved as a result of being with Paul through the storm, through the shipwreck, and through the 3 month stay on the island? Remember that none of this was accidental. It all happened within the will of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we have this wonderful privilege of studying your word And we've tried to study it and understand it just like you wrote it for our benefit. And I pray for these dear folks that you will meet their every need as you guide them through life. Help them to study thy word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will make them more and more Christ-like as they submit their hearts and minds to its teachings. In Jesus' name, amen.